Go. It's about to be a jovial 60 minutes, my dude. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places. Been with the dynasty, but does she like me? Feel like a plumber sleeping, now that's a pipe dream. For the right fee, I might be entitled to the title. Be on top like the cherry of an ice cream. Sundays, that's the one day I can complain, never complain. Cause I know the boys gon' drop a pod, prop up my squad so I can talk a lot. But here we go again, it's a new year. Rookies flowing in, it's some new tears. Who here to do sphere? Bounce bells off of their chest like boutonnieres. It's a new era, happy hour, yeah. Let me ask you this, are you trying to get picks? Are you trying to get rich? Are you trying to get ships? Then you're trying to get this. And you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places, and you hear right now, what you gonna hear right now? Chase. Of all the places.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome back. This is Debbie Happy Hour, episode 10, where we cover all your Debbie needs. And right now we're still focusing on the NFL draft, which is exactly two weeks from tonight. Finally.
2 months.
I know. I couldn't wait another 2 months, man. I couldn't wait to do two more months of mocks and
nuts.
Good Lord, man. I'm already going bonkers off my head here. Real quick, before we get going, you can find us, the show, on Twitter at Debbie Happy Hour, or you can email us, DebbieHappyHour@gmail.com, if you have any questions. And real quick, thanks to Tyler Gunther at DHH_Tyler for letting us have this platform for talking Debbie, and along beside me tonight for the ride, my co-host Andrew. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Got a busy 2 weeks ahead of us, like you mentioned, the draft. And then, of course, more importantly, Game of Thrones this Sunday and Endgame on day two of the draft. So priorities will have to be decided on the second day of the draft.
I keep telling myself I need to start on Game of Thrones, so I probably should.
You haven't watched any of it?
No, I've never had HBO. So, I mean, we talked about getting the HBO Go thing.
I got a login. I'll give you the login.
So, yeah, I'm thinking about it. It's one of those things that, I mean, it's – that time era is the era I absolutely love. I love movies about that stuff, so I don't know why I wouldn't like it. But, yeah, so we're going to dive right in. We have just a little bit of news this week. Actually, the biggest news was today, and it's not really Debbie-related, but Leonard Fournette was caught last night, actually, he pulled over for speeding, and his license was suspended, and he had unpaid fines, which led to his license being suspended. So it's kind of a big shock. I actually think it will have some implication in the draft. I can see them possibly taking a running back early now, because it's, you know, I saw a lot of it on Twitter. It's not the big deal compared to, you know, beating your girlfriend in an elevator or, you know, stuff like that. But it's still a big deal. You know, it shows a lack of maturity that he's willing to not pay parking fines. Someone who's making, you know, what, $700,000 a year at least. So he won't pay a parking fine, which leads to his license being suspended. So it's just a maturity issue. And Tom Coughlin's always had a history of being kind of a badass about that stuff. So what do you think about it, Andrew?
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, especially with the Tom Coughlin thing. I was just looking it up, too, just to remind myself. But in New York, when, I mean, obviously, Plaxico Burress shooting himself is worse than not paying a speeding ticket in the grand scheme of things, especially in a crowded nightclub. But they played no nonsense with that. I mean, and with Fournette, they've already kind of had the history of where they were trying to get rid of the guarantees in his contract, and they were trying to weasel their way through what they can to potentially get rid of him and move on, which, I mean, they invested such a high pick in him, I don't quite understand already giving up on it. Jaguars themselves, I think it'll be interesting to see what they decide, because at this point, this could just be the straw that broke the camel's back. There we go.
You made me think of all those weird little things they were doing in our chat the other day.
Yeah.
Those are some strange ones. So anyways, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere, that's for sure, but I could see them maybe taking out a bigger insurance policy on him at this point. Yeldon's still out there. I'd be pretty shocked if they don't grab Yeldon pretty quick here.
So yeah, I'm working on a Jaguar 7-round mock, and I did a Jets one as well, and I gave both of them running backs. Well, I gave the Jets running backs late, but then they signed Ty Montgomery today. But now I think after today, I'm going to take that running back and give it to the Jaguars later in the draft, just like you said, as an insurance policy to where, hey, something happens, they got a backup.
Right. Oh, I would like I think Rodney Anderson would fit in that offense and not even miss a beat, actually. And yeah, he would give him a little time to heal as well. Give Fournette, you know, a last chance, more or less. So, yeah, I don't know. He's taking a lot of directions they could go. So that's really all the news. I wasn't even sure about bringing that up because it's not technically Debbie, but at the same time, it has a big news story right now. 2 weeks out from the draft, it's kind of quiet. So
it has been real quiet.
Yep. So this week we're going to go through the last division, the last of our divisions for our divisional fits editions. First up, we're going to do the NFC West. Starting the NFC West is Arizona Cardinals, who obviously have pick one. They have pick 33 in the second, 65 in the third, a fourth, a fifth, 2 sixths, and 3 7th round picks. You had just actually wrote an article about the Arizona Cardinals draft, didn't you?
Yep, like, I had a 7-round mock come out today.
Right, and you know, obviously, what you picked and what everybody is saying is what everybody thinks is going to happen. But what do you think is their best fit there?
I don't think it's time to pull the plug on Rosen. I mean, he had, 8 or 10 games? I can't even think of it off the top of my head. And they were dealing with injuries, and I don't think Steve Wilks was the guy there. Everyone's saying the firing was the big questionable decision made in the desert, whereas I think hiring him was the biggest issue they had. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to want his guy. If you've got the clip of him talking about it at Tech, you got him recruiting him in high school, you got all the stuff here, and it's probably going to be Kyler Murray. But this team, I think, needs to be built with the defense, because I think Cliff Kingsbury is a good enough offensive coach to make up for not having Kyler Murray. He can't make up for the defensive side. So, and they signed Terrell Suggs, and they brought in Jordan Hicks, who can be inside or outside depending on what type of scheme and everything they do. But I think Nick Bosa would be a staple opposite of Chandler Jones. And then at linebacker, you throw Suggs and everybody else, you'd have a very good pass rush. And then a division where you have, running down the list here, you play Jared Goff 2 times a year, Jimmy Garoppolo 2 times a year, and Russell Wilson 2 times a year. So you've really got to be able to contain them, especially Russell Wilson and his mobility. Having two dynamic edge players would definitely help with that. But it's getting close to being written in pen with Kyler Murray. I was listening to the Move the Sticks podcast, and I think for them, they don't want to cement it because NFL Network, you got to have the ratings and so on and so forth. But they're talking, oh, well, they could go Bosa. They could go Quinnen Williams at one. I'm like, they're going Kyler Murray. So I just think it's not what I would do. I would go Bosa, but that's what I had for my best fit would be Bosa. My worst fit would be Murray.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in a hurry to write mine on there, and then you wrote the same thing. So
yeah. So, at one, yeah, it's not tough.
Right, I agree. I just think the combination of Bosa and Rosen puts them so much farther ahead than Murray and whoever they're going to get for that pick that they're going to have to give for Rosen. Right. So I just don't – I think right there you've got two – I still don't know what to think of Rosen. I liked him a lot coming out last year. He looked okay at times last year, but, you know, he's a rookie quarterback. Not every rookie quarterback transitions like Baker Mayfield or, you know, even Sam Darnold looked really good at times last year. So – I mean, I think maybe they're trying to shoot too high for this. I understand giving Cliff his quarterback. I mean, that is critical. But there used to always be an adage that the good coaches will not, you know, they don't draft quarterbacks for their system. They mold their system around the quarterback,
yeah,
which is what a true offensive mind should be able to do. He should know what he has. I mean, he's got David Johnson and Josh Rosen. That's a pretty damn good start.
Yeah,
you know, and then Christian Kirk and still Larry Fitzgerald. And yeah, I mean, there's and a draft where he could grab a couple really good wide receivers or tight end. You know, he needs to, you work with what you have, not get what you think you need. So
yeah, and like, and in my mock, I gave them AJ Brown at 33, mm-hmm. you can move Kirk or AJ into whatever Fitzgerald's role is now. You'd have two great young receivers to grow with Rosen. So, and then I took, I think it was the fourth round or the third round, I got Foster Moreau. And Foster Moreau would be perfect because that adds the block right. with Rosen, with giving him a potential pass catcher who can develop into that. And then the last pick with the Mr. Relevant pick, I gave him Penny Hart. He's so fast, you can just throw him back there at special teams or just have him as a gadget-type player, and you'd open up the offense. And it's kind of funny, and this just kind of hit me talking about it with when you were saying how the situation is there. Have you seen the horrible movie Draft Day?
It's not horrible, man.
I know. It's just not how it works.
It's terrible. It's cheesy, yeah.
Yeah. So they have that good quarterback there. Not saying Rosen's good necessarily, but they trade up to get the number one pick. Arizona obviously earned the number one pick, but they have that quarterback they could take at one, and Kevin Costner wants to go with the edge rusher the whole time, and it's a very similar situation. Whereas I think if they go with Murray, I think Rosen's confidence is shot, and potentially his career could just be really ruined from it. Whereas I think if they go with the edge rusher, it's really going to give a giant boost of confidence to Rosen, and I think Kingsbury's a good enough offensive mind to just make up for it. So.
Right. I worry that Rosen's might already be shot. I mean, yeah. I would not want to go through
the constant. He was first in the building the other day.
Yeah, so, that's crazy. Okay. Even though I don't necessarily root, I still don't want to. I feel like they're doing bad by him. And it just, this is one of those things. Franchises have to do what they have to do to win. But at the same time, So I just think it's a step back to try to get a step forward when they could just step forward, just move on, get better.
So, exactly.
All right. Next up, we have the Los Angeles Rams. I actually had a little trouble with this one. They pick at 31st and they pick in the third round, they have 94 and 99. Then they have fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. I struggled finding a good fit for them. They're a team that has quite a bit of pieces. They don't have a ton of weaknesses. So yeah. Who was your best fit there?
My best fit, Damian Harris. He, I think, would be a good later pick. I think he's kind of being overlooked just because Josh Jacobs is a sexy name there at Alabama, obviously. Malcolm Brown, I'm not entirely sold on. I mean, you saw C.J. Anderson came off the street. He was hurt, but came in and excelled in that role. I think Damian Harris, if something happens with Gurley, is an excellent security blanket for them. I think if something happened with Gurley and he had to miss a couple games or just rest up for a little bit before a playoff run, you could have Harris in there and you wouldn't miss a beat. So Damian Harris, I think, is a very good value pick. You could probably take him with that 99 overall or that fourth probably and be happy with it.
Yeah, I went a little earlier. I think they need I'd like to see him take Jonathan Abram in the first if he's still there. I like his attitude and his swagger. If the defense for last year, for all they had, I mean, they lost the swagger of Ndamukong Suh there. But I feel like when it came time, when the crunch time came, their defense didn't look as good as it could have. I think he'd bring a nice little attitude, a nice little oomph to play. I'd like him to play next door to John Johnson III. He's one of my favorite players. But it allowed John to do more of a center field type role, which kind of leads to my worst fit. I think Deontay Thompson would be terrible there. I've seen him mock there a couple places, and I think John Johnson is much better at what Deontay Thompson does. Johnson did really well last year in, run support and things like that too. So he's a good all-around player. But I like Abram there quite a bit. Just that swagger and that they need a little attitude. So they've got that kind of – I don't know. It's weird to me to think like this, but McVay is, he's kind of a pretty boy, kind of a new shiny toy, and I'd like to see that attitude, that little bit of that old school thump. So, get a little attitude on defense. So
I think John that with Jeff Fisher. So you want Jeff Fisher back?
No, he wasn't old school thump either. He was just old school crotchety. I don't know what the hell Jeff Fisher was.
They're not. Who's your 8 and 8?
Who's your worst fit there, man?
My worst fit is Andre Dillard, just because Andrew Whitworth's getting up there, and he's still an all-pro and should be. in the conversation every year for it. And he's been phenomenal for that Rams offense, especially helping out Todd Gurley. I think Dillard would just get pushed around a lot in the division with all the tough defenses in San Francisco, Arizona, and Seattle. I just think Dillard, after seeing him down in Mobile and looking back and thinking about some more things with him, I was really, really high on him. And then go back and watching the clip where Montez Sweat just puts him in his grave. I just think if Montez Sweat's going to do that to you, what's a trained NFL player like Chandler Jones or what should be Nick Bosa in San Francisco or Clark coming off the edge in Seattle, what are they going to do to him? So I think it's best for LA to find that replacement next year potentially, maybe with Trey Adams out of Washington who returned this year, looking ahead, getting some devy looks at offensive line. So just what I would stay away from offensive line this year for them. I think they're so close. Just load up on some weapons and some playmakers and just make another run.
All right, next up we have 49ers. They are pick number two. They have 36 in the second, 67 in the third, a fourth, and 2/6. So what do you think is their best fit? This actually kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, no, I figured when I typed this in that it was going to get a little bit of controversy. I'm not entirely sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, obviously he was hurt last year and he only played part the year before. They gave him a lot of money. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully he doesn't have the Blake Bortles and Joe Flacco thing happen after he gets paid. I think is a nice security backup. I mean, you had Nick Mullins there. CJ Beathard, I don't think is anything great, obviously. But I think Jarrett Stidham would be real nice. So if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't take off, he'll eventually be dealt or cut or whatever it's going to be with that big salary number. I think Jarrett Stidham would be nice to where he can continue to develop with Kyle Shanahan and kind of work his way up a little bit. I think him and Shanahan would be a nice fit together.
Yeah, that's interesting. I actually kind of feel like the quarterbacks are okay, but I definitely would be okay with them taking a flyer. Like in the, I would think Stidham might make it to the sixth, but the fourth probably at least. So
yeah.
My best fit is what most likely is going to happen, Nick Bosa. I think they're kind of getting a gift. If Arizona does take Kyler at first, I think that's kind of giving the 49ers the best player in the draft. So I think that's their best fit, and they're probably going to get it fall right in their lap. You know, it's a Christmas present, you know, so take it. And it really helps them out. You know, they'll have D Ford, you know, and Bosa, and then they've got the great guys up front already, with DeForest Buckner, and then they've got some, you know, solid linebackers, a couple good safeties. You know, they got the buildings of a really damn good defense there. And I actually kind of like them taking N'Keal Harry in the second as well. So I think it was him that I saw somebody mock to them the other day and kind of compared him to somebody else. Anyways, I like that fit there, though. As someone, they need a really good solid possession receiver that can, you know, catch the ball downfield. So there's several receivers though that I'd really like to see here. So, yeah. Anyone? What was your worst fit there?
My worst fit, I think, is any running back, just because that's already we talked about being an expletive show beforehand. It's a cluster.
Yeah, it is. Holy crap! Tevin Coleman, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida, Jeffrey Wilson, Raheem Mostert. You know, those are four. Wilson and Mostert look really good at times. Yeah,
you would think so. Any running back there, I think, she's going to cause more confusion. If I were betting, I think they move on from McKinnon. I think they stick with Coleman and Breida, and probably Wilson. I don't want any running back going there just because it's going to cause more confusion.
Yeah, I've been avoiding him in fantasy. Even there's just too much up in the air, man.
Oh yeah, 100%.
My worst fit, I don't see them taking Josh Allen, but if for some reason they try to do something crazy and take Josh Allen, I don't like that there. And I don't like them. I said I want him to get a wide receiver, and I don't like Hollywood there, though. I don't think he fits. Maybe he does, because Shanahan does like to push the ball. So I'm probably the most – I'm not keeping secret of my hate of Hollywood Brown. So, yeah, I don't like him, so –
Do you know what receiver they should take?
Who should they take?
Debo!
Dude, I'm surprised you didn't before this.
I put it in there. And I was like, I talk about Debo every week. I'm going to try to take it off this week.
I swear. Best fit every team, Debo Samuel. Okay. No. we could have saved ourselves some time doing all these shows, man.
Just know, anytime I have a receiver for a best fit, just know deep in my heart, it should be Debo Samuel.
I actually really do like Debo there as well. That's just a really good college receiver. Yeah.
I'm working on a profile on him. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to end it with something crazy. I'm going to leave it for draft week so I don't have to hear
are
about
you
it.
Are you going to compare him to Jerry Rice? That's the next step,
no,
I think.
No. Not that crazy, but it'll be crazy enough that it'll be talked about, I think.
Andrew. All right, next up, last team in the West is Seattle Seahawks. They have picked 21, 84 in the third, and then just a fourth and a fifth. That's it. Nothing. That's Andrew, not, best.
That's not a Josh Snyder type of draft, really.
Exactly. Andy, what's your best fit there, bud?
I'm just kidding. N'Keal Harry. He visited there this week, and as soon as I saw that, and I knew we were doing the West Division or conferences this week, divisions, my God, whatever the word is. I'm too out of my mind at this point. When I saw N'Keal Harry was visiting there, I immediately thought, what a perfect potential replacement for Doug Baldwin when both his knees finally give out. Even with him being opposite Baldwin, I know they got Tyler Lockett there, but Harry's just something that would be a dynamic piece with Wilson. I think he would be a top fantasy asset there too. I think him with Russell Wilson would be fantastic. And then, like I said too, he'll eventually be the one there if he goes there. So whether or not they invest in a receiver at 21 when they have a lot of other needs is tough to say. They very easily could go with another receiver in the third or fourth or fifth round. But then again, they took Rashad Penny last year in the first. So who knows? They can take Cole Tracy. Do you know who Cole Tracy is?
Is that the dude that was the race? Oh, never mind. That's nothing. Never mind. But
kicker from LSU.
Nice. Okay. No, that's only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that do that. Right. I agree. I think their biggest pressing need, honestly, is wide receiver. I think they're wasting Russell Wilson's years at this point. So it's that wide receiver, I think, offensive line, which has always been a need for them. So, yeah, I could see them. I think they have to go either of those routes, but you never know what they're going to do. So another team.
There's not going to be an offensive lineman, I think, that's going to be worth taking there. So that's
just someone would have to fall. Yeah. See, and I like Jakai Polite there. I think it's a great fit. He's – like I said, he was supposed to have been first round before all this immaturity things and stuff, which kind of has Seattle written all over it. That's kind of how they got Frank Clark. That's kind of how they got kind of other cat. I'm drawing blanks on names. Jaron Reed.
Yeah.
Who slipped a little bit, but they're like, we'll take him. We got him. You know, and he kind of has that nastiness that defense typically has. And I think they franchised Frank Clark. I don't know if they're going to be able to afford to keep him. So it kind of would allow Polite to maybe have a way, kind of work his way in and possibly take over for Frank Clark if they can't afford him. My worst fit was actually Taylor Rapp, which I love him as a safety. I just don't know if he fits there. So I've seen them also mock to take a safety since Earl Thomas left, but I think they've got adequate safeties right now, and that's a need they don't need to address too early. So what was your worst fit?
Yeah, just a touch on Jakai Polite too. Pete Carroll's a real players coach. I think at least he comes off that way. And Polite really thrived this past year when Florida brought in Dan Mullen, who's a big players coach. So I think a coach with that personality and attitude would do really well for Polite. So I do like that fit a lot. My worst fit was Paris Campbell, just because I had bad flashbacks to when Percy Harvin was in Seattle, and I don't like how they used him. And I think Campbell's kind of a similar player, so I just want to see Campbell go somewhere else. And they already have Tyler Lockett, who I also think is kind of a similar player and type. I think they need more weapons. I just don't like Paris Campbell there.
Yeah, well, I totally agree, man. Let me see what I got next here, buddy. All right, now we'll switch over to the AFC. We got the Denver Broncos.
John Elway draft.
Oh, Lord. He's one of my – why do we have the same person as best and worst? Anyways, so they have pick 10, pick 41 in the second, 71 in the third, a fourth, two fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. And this one's out for my buddy Jeremy, who I work with, and he is a diehard Broncos fan. He's been wondering when we're going to talk about him. So who is your best fit there, Andrew?
Best fit for me? I've been really down on him lately. It might be a sucker for the Draft Academy series on ESPN, but I forgot he was working with Jordan Palmer. And Jordan Palmer did a lot of things for Josh Allen and Sam Darnold last year. And I really like him as a quarterback coach. And he's really cleaned up a little bit of the crazy feet and the hip action that Drew Locke had in college. He's really refined him down, just trimmed off a lot of the extra fat and extra movement that he had. So I think if Locke can continue to do that, I think he could potentially, and I hate to say it for Broncos fans, save John Elway's job. Just to jump to my worst fit, if somehow
every week
you're laughing at saving John Elway's job or my worst fit.
Every week for the worst fit.
and they say that draft Twitter and the internet and everyone's more down on him than the NFL is, but I keep having a flashback to that throw to the sideline in Mobile. And then this week I'm talking about Daniel Jones. I'm just gonna say it, worst fits Daniel Jones. But someone this week posted that he had 20 throws in Miami this past year, and it was a torrential downpour. No quarterback would have probably looked good, but it was Daniel Jones making all these throws. And it looked like my son, whenever he throws a DVD or a ball or anything in the house, just it's erratic. So I just think Daniel Jones in Denver, he's not going to like the snow, and he's not going to – I think Elway would – just finick with him too much, where I think Locke, after starting for 4 years in Missouri and dealing with what he did early on in Missouri and him just being the better athlete, I just think he's the better pick there for them. And with Flacco being there, Locke can just continue to grow a little bit, and then he won't be forced into anything. And in that altitude, that big arm, that ball's going to go an extra 10, 15 yards.
All right. See, I actually think my worst fit is Locke, but it's only because I think it's just too early to take him. Like, that's, I just don't like him at 10. If they could get him at 41, I would say do it all day. But I don't think he's going to make it that far. So I just don't like him at 10. I think they can get another project quarterback is just as good, you know, in the third, fourth round, like, you know, Jared Stidham. So
I said him, yeah.
But I do. What was that?
I was agreeing with you, Stidham.
Yeah. So I just don't like that pick at 10. I actually would like to see him take TJ Hockenson. I know Yeah, I know we've mocked him at 9 and 10 and 8. And so, yeah. But if he fell to 10, I really like that there. They've been kind of searching for that tight end. I still think Jake Butt's possibly it, because he was a very, very good tight end in college, so until he got hurt. So we'll see. I like Hockenson there. Just the blue-collar attitude that Denver eats that up. So that's like kind of one of their type of players. So, yeah. And then Daniel Jones. We got to get our weekly Daniel Jones hate in. So.
Oh, always.
So next up, Kansas City Chiefs. I struggled with this one too.
Yeah, they're another team that's right there.
Ironically, I feel like they have so many holes. Like, they're very good, but they also have some pretty decent sized holes. So
quarterback that throws 50 touchdowns covers up a lot of it.
Yeah, oh yeah. You score that many points, that does it a lot. So they have pick 29, they have 61 and 63 in the second, 92 in the third, a fifth, two sixths, and a seventh. And what was your best fit, Andrew?
My best fit's Jonathan Abram. I think he'd be a very aggressive complement to Tyrann Mathieu. And it's funny, Tyrann Mathieu in college, I mean, he was called the Honey Badger for a reason. But I think now that he's gotten a little bit older, he's kind of moving into that more flexibility type play where he's just going to be flying all around trying to make plays. Whereas I think Jonathan Abram would definitely help with the run game as well. It's not so much with the passing game, but I think a big thing for Kansas City was just up front stopping people. So you saw that game-winning drive New England had. It was James White, Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel the whole way down the field. And the one time Brady threw a pass, it was picked off. But obviously we all know how that ended.
Right, I think Abram could definitely be the player that they always thought Eric Berry was going to be. And yeah, he was for a while. So there's definitely a lot of his game in Abram's game. So
yeah, I just think Abram would be a very – good compliment to what Matthew is going to bring at safety.
And I mentioned the attitude earlier, and I think they are a team that doesn't – their defense needs a little more attitude. I mean, I love Chris Jones up front, but losing Justin Houston was huge. He was a big part of their swagger And yeah, it's going to be tough to replace him. So Abram's good. I just went with best defensive player available. I know that's kind of a cop out, but there's several players that I could see fitting, but they just have to take the best defensive player. And I think the biggest mistake would be offense early. They need to, if they get any defensive players before the third round, I would be just pissed because that team needs defense bad. Like yeah. they just need some defensive players. And who was your worst fit?
My worst fit is another safety, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who I love as a Florida Gator fan. I just think he'd be too much of the same thing at safety with that they have with Matthew. So I just think they need to go a little more aggressive, whereas Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's more of a coverage, nickel, laid-back type of safety.
LA Chargers are next. Surprised I didn't say San Diego. I usually do, 9 times out of 10. Yeah. They have pick 28 in the first, 60 in the second, 91 in the third, and then fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. So I actually wanted to lead with my best fit because I don't know, I haven't really been able to read a lot about it, but I hear that Juwan Taylor is falling all of a sudden. Do you know a little more about that? Or I kind of caught a glimpse of it. So.
Yeah, they listened to Divvy Happy Hour last week and they heard me compare him to DJ Humphries.
No.
No, I have heard a little bit about it. I just think it's Matt talks about it all the time on Stick to Football and he steals it from True Detective. Time is a flat circle. And I think the beginning of draft talk and season, Juwan Taylor wasn't up in the beginning of the first round. Jonah Williams and him kind of flip-flop spots, and I think they're just flip-flopping back like normal. Yeah, so not that Taylor's not a bad player, but, I mean, if he's at 28 for the Chargers, my God, jump all over it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I heard, you know, there's been some buzz that he's falling all of – maybe that's where I heard it. But fortunately, right now I'm digesting so much information that sometimes they don't have the proper, you know
– Preach.
Yeah, the proper person to credit when I hear something. I've been hearing so much lately. So that was my best fit is if he falls, or I like Andre Dillard too. They just, I think a good offensive lineman would help that such like, yeah, I think that team's really close and they're getting better. And I think they just need a little more help. And I like offensive line with what they have and what they need. So, and you thought the same thing. What was your best fit?
Yeah. Best fit. I think a player that I think will be there at 28 is Dalton Risner. Listed as an interior offensive lineman, he can be a center, he can be a guard. They have Pouncey, who found kind of a little bit of a career resurgence there last year. But I mean, if I leave reading off their offensive line, you got Okung at left tackle, Dan Feeney, who was a high pick a couple of years ago at left guard, Pouncey, who's solid. But then the right side of the line, you got Schofield and Sam Tevy. So I mean, Risner could be thrown out at right guard or right tackle and just kind of move around and be whatever you need him to be. He's kind of the Swiss Army knife of the offensive lineman. So I think Risner would be perfect there. And with San Diego, they're another team. I said it there. Los Angeles, they're another team where they're so close in the AFC. There's so many teams that are really close. A simple build up front and work your way out sort of approach will definitely help them. Like you said, they don't need – or did you say your bad fit yet?
No.
Okay. Well, but, allude to what I would not do too. So,
hey, your worst fit kind of surprised me. I didn't realize he was in the draft.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second. You go with yours first.
Yeah, mine is just picking an offensive weapon too early. I mean, that team's got offensive weapons for days. I mean, I guess I like Mike Williams a lot. I like Hunter Henry. I guess somebody to kind of sort of a third receiver wouldn't be a bad, but not early. I mean, you can get one of those at 91. 4, 5, 6. You can get that all draft. You can find a complimentary weapon. So yeah, just taking an offensive weapon like that too early, I think would be kind of silly. So what was your worst fit?
My worst fit's Josh Rosen, and they're in the talk to get him. I just think, like I said, they're so close. I wouldn't trade for him. You got Phillip Rivers. I could tell you who the backup quarterback is in Los Angeles. We're going to have to start a San Diego jar. I want to say it's Cardale Jones. Dan Kiefer will correct me on that because I know he listens to the show. So, no, I don't think you should trade any of your draft capital when you're that close to get a quarterback that's not going to help you right away. Like, if you want to go quarterback, go next year when you could have someone like a Fromm or a Herbert, or later around you can get like a Nate Stanley or somebody like a KJ Costello, who a lot of people like out of Stanford, where I think this year you just got to focus on win now. I mean, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger.
I cannot see them going after Josh Rosen. They do have Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor is now their backup.
Oh, that's right. They did sign Tyrod Taylor. So, yeah, don't go.
He's a more than adequate backup. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Phillip Rivers played through a torn ACL, so unless he's hit by a bus and he's 6 feet under, I would still count on him to play.
See, we talked earlier about Rosen's psyche being – I can't imagine him wanting to sit 3 years behind somebody either. So I think that's too much to invest on somebody.
I think he would if it was the right – and not anything against Anthony Lynn, but like if it was New England and he was sitting with Belichick and Brady, I think he could tolerate that a little bit more than sitting behind Phillip Rivers, who's just going to talk about his 9 kids all day.
Right. Cool. All right. Last pick. Last one. And ironically, the last team we're covering is the one who basically holds all the keys to the draft, I think. So the Oakland Raiders and John Gruden have pick 4, pick 24, pick 27, pick 35 in the second, and then a 4th, 5th, and 2 sevenths. So they have 4 of the top 35 picks. So I like that there. And you stole my idea, and I don't like you anymore. But you go through your first best fit, and I'll go through my second. And then
we each listed 3 names here, thinking what they're going to do at 4, 24, and 27.
Yeah, and 2 of them we agree on. So we'll go through that one.
2 that we agree on.
What's your first one?
Yours. Josh Allen from Kentucky. They need to go edge. They traded Khalil Mack, and we can discuss that deal till the cows come home.
Frank complained about them not having pass rush. So.
All year. Second at 24, I really like Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs is better than Marshawn Lynch right now at his age and his production and everything. And they just re-signed Jalen Richard. They're kind of the same player, but Josh Jacobs, I think, is definitely a more better runner. I think Jacobs is what you get if Marshawn Lynch and Richard were the same player. You have the pass-catching ability and you have the physical running a little bit, not to the extent that Lynch has, but you get the idea at least. And then when I go with a 3rd pick in the first round at 27, I would go Taylor Rapp just because I really like him as a safety. I think he is very, very flexible. He'll be a playmaker for that team, something that they wanted Joseph to be, and he just hasn't been for them. So that's what I would go with.
Yep, and I agreed with Allen and Jacobs. Yeah, I think Isaiah Crowell is not the answer, but I think Isaiah Crowell will help Jacobs not have to be the man right off the bat. So I kind of like that. Break him in a little slower. Let him, you know, get his feet wet and then take over in year 2. Then I don't disagree with the Rat pick, but I just like Abram more. And if they have their pick of them, I would rather them take Abram. But I think Rat might be the more complete. Might be a little bit better for them now to think of it. But I just like Abram a lot. That's why
I may not be there at 27 too. I think Abram will be there at 27, so yours might make the most sense.
All right. And then as far as worst fits, I don't think they should take TJ Hockenson. I think the sweet spot for TJ is between 4 and 24, so I don't think it's going to be an option. And if for some reason something happens at the top and Kyler Murray's there at 4, I think that would be a huge mistake. I don't dislike Kyler Murray, I swear. I think Derek Carr's a more than good enough quarterback to lead him. I think he will positively regress back toward his, you know, what he was 2 years ago. So I actually really like Carr and what they're doing around him. So I think he's going to be perfectly okay in that system. So what is your worst fit?
Yeah, worst fit is going QB at 4, whether it's Drew Locke or Kyler Murray. I don't think Kyler Murray will be there, so I think it would be more or less Drew Locke. 24, DK Metcalf. I think Antonio Brown has me weary of young receivers now. I don't want any of them going to Oakland. They got Tyrell Williams there, who I think is a nice signing. They have Antonio Brown, like I just mentioned. They'll probably draft someone late, and may God have mercy on their soul at that point. And I hope he doesn't ask for advice. And then Deontay Thompson, I think we kind of talked about him earlier. He's just not a good safety to take in the first round. I mean, if you can get Deontay Thompson in the 4th or the 5th, I mean, yeah, take a flyer on him. But the way he got torched in the college football playoff, he was really, really exposed. That's just something for me I don't want to be a part of. I think Taylor Rapp or Abram would be the much better pick there.
We made it through all the divisions. I'm super excited about that. We got through that 2 weeks to the draft. We were running out of time, so we had to kind of – no, I'm just kidding. I'm glad we got through that. We do have a couple listener questions this week. First one is from Mike LaValle, who we just talked to before the show. And he says, Josh Jacobs to the Eagles, which I thought this was dead at this point. Where do you put his value in a startup dynasty if Josh Jacobs goes to the Eagles?
I mean, he'd probably be top three pick easy. Maybe even 101, depending on where Montgomery and some other guys go. So I think top three easy, the potential for 101, depending on landing spots for the other guys.
Right. Yeah. I still think he's, three to five, those top ones. And I mean, Jordan Howard there doesn't scare me. Jordan Howard's on the type of contract where he could easily be gone after 1 year. So I said with Crowell and Jacobs, he could be the same situation with Howard and Jacobs. You know, Jacobs wouldn't have to take much of the workload this first year. Then once the Eagles realize that Jordan Howard's, he's an okay running back, you know, and they realize they've got something better that he would ultimately take over. So if Josh Jacobs ended up on the Eagles, I would probably not draft him right away. I would probably try to get him halfway through or toward the end of the first year, a lot cheaper. So that's always an option as well. Maybe he just takes it and runs with it, though. I'm not sure. So DR_DynastyFF. First thing he said, AJ Brown to the Raiders. That's all he said. So I could see it happening, and it would be fine. Okay.
And then one AB on the Raiders. There doesn't need to be two.
And then what are our thoughts on Jeff Thomas, the wide receiver from Miami, after looking to transfer but then returning to Miami? I didn't actually know a whole lot about Jeff Thomas. I knew that he was very talented and, you know, one to kind of watch, but I didn't have him very high in my Debbie rankings or anything. The more I read into it, he was actually dismissed from Miami this last fall. But then they welcomed him back, and then he put his name in the portal, and now he's coming back to Miami. So he's a little bit smaller, 5'10", like 190. But, I mean, he's shown flashes of electric, just being absolutely electric. He'll be a junior this year. So I don't know. I mean, I'll check him out in this offseason and stuff, but I honestly don't have a whole lot of thoughts about him at this point.
The whole is going to be a lot more fun to watch this year just because they're going to have a good
quarterback. They have a real quarterback, yeah. So,
yeah. And they go to Pitt this year, and I've said I'm going to try to get a credential for it, and if I don't get credential, I'm just going to buy a ticket. So my grandfather's a Miami fan. I already told him we need to go to it.
Oh, it's kind of funny. We're doing that big, giant Debbie draft. I was just telling you about that 800, whatever. Some guy just took Felipe Franks, and I just had to kind of laugh at him. So.
I got an alert the other day that said, is he the future for – or is he going to be the one to fix the quarterback woes since Tim Tebow left? I deleted my ESPN app. I was like, do not talk about Felipe Franks that way.
Do you have any idea what you're talking about?
No.
Yeah, he picked him, and I about fell off my chair. Although, we are, let me see. We picked 800 picks last year for Debbie. We're into 20 rounds this year we're doing. So we're looking at over 1,000 Debbie players. In round 15 of this 20, I just took Sam Ehlinger. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? I was quite shocked. I mean, I know Sam, I don't think Sam's going to be an NFL quarterback, but at the same time, I was like, why not?
You know, he could be.
900 players into a draft. Why not?
So, there was an NFL quarterback for a year, so why can't Sam Ehlinger?
Right, exactly. Tim Tebow almost did it, and he was terrible. Anyways, I love it. Andrew, you're my boy. I just got silence now. He's gone. He's checked out. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew has left the show. All right, man. He's probably muted himself and in the background cursing at me.
So anyway, come on, chop.
Scott Connor asked Zach Moss, what are our thoughts? Now, I honestly thought Zach Moss was coming out this year. And he was going to be probably a top five running back coming out of this class. Like, I really did. He's a little bit of a thumper. He loves to hit people. But he also he's a good runner in the open field, though. He uses his angles real well and things like that. He's a guy I've seen just some. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot. He plays out in Utah, so he doesn't, he's never on TV or anything like that, really. But he's a guy that I really liked and I thought was going to, you know, if he came out this year, was in a lot better shape, but then he ended up getting injured toward the end of the season. I think it was in between the bowl game process, and then he ended up sitting out the bowl game because of the injury. So, unfortunately, next year he's coming out into a really, really, really deep class.
But that's good, though.
If you have a chance to get him on a Debbie, I would get him now. Yeah, because he's probably going to be stupid cheap. Like, I think I actually did get him in one of the Pigs leagues really cheap. So, yeah, he's got some talent. He's a bigger guy and a bruiser, but he can also move, and he's very elusive. So he's got some traits that you really like, and he's a guy that I would watch very, very closely next year. So I think he still could sneak into the top 10 running backs next year. So, but if he would have came out this year, I think he'd have been top five. So, yeah, good question, Scott. The name that should probably be on more people's radars, I think. So that is all we have for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, I think we're going to plan on doing a Debbie Owner's Manual. We got something really fun and special lined up. My hatred of mock drafts is going to be thrown out the window because we've come up with a good idea for one next week. So
you came up with this idea, Mr. I hate mock drafts.
I said we've, just because I don't want to take credit for sole credit for things, man. We're a team. We're like Batman and Robin or something.
Now we're going to discuss that.
Batman and Superman, because I don't want either of us wearing those weird ass little green tights.
He knocked up Lois Lane and left.
So, all right, Andy, why don't you tell everybody what you're doing right now, where they can find you at, man.
Yeah, I'm working on a bunch of 7-round mocks for the Score Crow. I've got a Jets one coming out tomorrow or today when you're listening to it. And then the day after that, or so tomorrow for you guys listening to this now. It will have the Jaguars coming out, and then from there I'm going to keep knocking out as many as I can for them. So lots of fun picks to be made. It's kind of fun playing GM with what you think will happen versus what you'll kind of do. With the later round picks, it kind of becomes less of a, I think this will happen, to more of like, oh, I'd put this guy there. So got a lot of mock drafts coming out if that's what your thing is. And if you're a fan of those teams, you let me know who you want to see. And then after that, once we get landing spots, like I said, Dynasty Happy Hour will really pick up. And I am working on a feature with Debo Samuel, about Debo Samuel. So stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, and you can find Andrew on Twitter at Mandrew NFL Draft. So
I always forget myself. Dang it.
Definitely check him out. You can find me on Twitter at FF Peebles Champ. And you can find my work at DLF. And right now we just did a defensive line article, and kind of not sure what we're going next. I want to talk to the team and figure out what we're doing, but we're doing some sort of staff mocks and things like that, and you know, talking about me not doing some sort of live feed thing for the draft, and I think they're talking about one at DHH as well. So we'll always be there in your ear if you want to hear us. So yeah, we're all over, man. So if you guys have any questions, please email us at devihappyhour@gmail.com, or if that's not your thing, just shoot us a Twitter message. Andrew and I are both on there quite often. I don't check the Debbie Happy Hour one more than once a day typically, but you know, I'll see the alert and I'll get it if you guys send a message there. So if you have any questions, if you're stuck in the middle of a Debbie draft and you just need to know what to pick next, just shoot us a couple screenshots. We'll help you out. So that's all we have for this week, and we will talk to you guys next week.